Let's pray. Father, give us ears to hear your word as it speaks to our hearts. Thank you that you are here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hello, I'm Katie Corpy, and Neil asked me to preach on a parable. I thought, through the long list, I keyed in on the parable known as the persistent widow. I thought, well, there's something I can identify with. I can speak from my own experience that being a widow is not easy. When asked to do my life goals in ninth grade, I didn't put down my goal is to become a widow at a relatively young age. Accent on relatively. In a matter of a blink, I went from being a we to an I. I have had to deal with loneliness and feeling overwhelmed. It wasn't easy raising two teenage daughters by myself and having to get back into the workforce. I had family, friends, and Calvin to help me out. The widow Jesus is telling us about didn't have that support. In Jesus' time, widows were people on the margins. If there was an issue for a widow, then the head male member of that family would be their advocate. In this parable, the widow is her own advocate, which is pretty amazing, because I can speak for many women my age, we were not trained to advocate for ourselves. The way Jesus frames this parable tells me that she was alone, without family. If she was going to achieve her goal of justice, then she was going to have to make it happen for herself. She had to be her own advocate. Well, as many of you know, I have a connection to Finland. Some of my friends, best friends live in Finland. I have been to Finland so many times that I have lost count. I have been there and experienced all of the seasons. The winters especially can be brutal. They are cold, snowy, and ice can make life difficult. I give you this background to introduce you to the Finnish word, sisu. Perhaps you've even seen this on bumper stickers. Sisu is a word that resonates with the national identity of Finland. It means tenacity of purpose, stick-to-itiveness. The cold, harsh winters have ingrained in the Finns the tenacity to do what is needed to survive. The widow in this parable has sisu. In the face of indifference and rejection, she knows the rightness of her cause, and she is determined to do what it takes to get the justice she knows she deserves. On the other hand, the judge in the parable is a diametric opposite position. First, he is a man and a man of power. He is so powerful that Jesus tells us that he doesn't care what others think of him. He doesn't even care what God thinks. He is so powerful that he can be dishonest and get away with it. Why would Jesus cast the judge as being unjust? In this parable, I believe Jesus is, if this parable is to encourage us to be persistent in bringing our prayers before the throne of grace, then surely it is not before an unjust God. One of Jesus's classic devices in his parables is in using the concept of how much more. I think Jesus is using the unjustness of this judge as a how much more example. Just as the widow is the diametric opposite of the judge is the diametric opposite of God the Father. If the unjust judge grants the widow's petition, then how much more will the Father in heaven not withhold good things from his children? This made me think, how do I view God? Do I see him like the judge? Do I view him as just or unjust? Do I see God full of grace and love, or just wanting to punish me for something I've done? When I pray, do I believe that God will answer my prayer, or do I sometimes feel like I am leaving a message on God's voicemail, where he will either get back to me or not? I have experienced that feeling of having my prayers getting lost in a space, like radio waves sent out into the cosmos, hoping that intelligent life somewhere will respond. This is hitting a brick wall in prayer. It would be so much easier for me if God could just text me back, message received. Am I willing to keep on praying even in the face of what seems like unanswered prayers? Or do I blame God, or do I have Sisu? We live in an entitlement culture. We expect immediate results, don't we? So I have categorized three aspects of this widow's plight, the first being waiting. Waiting is hard, which brings me to Costco. You either love shopping at Costco or you hate it. I personally hate it. One of the things I hate is waiting in the checkout lines. Inevitably, I choose the slowest line. I had accepted this as my lot in life, forever choosing the slowest line, for choosing poorly. But really, life is about waiting. Whether it is the Costco line, the freeway lane, a special event, or even Christmas, we are constantly in the state of waiting for something, our pork sliders. Why is waiting so hard? From my own experience, I think it is because waiting puts me in a place where I lack control of the situation. Waiting forces me to relinquish, to open myself, to acknowledge it's out of my hands. I don't like that. Being in control can give me a false sense of security, and it eliminates my need for God. The widow in this parable had to wait for justice. I can imagine that she must have gotten discouraged. Perhaps the cry of her heart is, it's not fair. I have an over-acute sense of fairness. It's hard for me to let that go. All you have to do is ride in the Washington State ferries to see it played out. Get on first, and somehow you are the last off. It's just plain unfair. The unfairness of this widow's situation must have led her to feel frustrated. But nevertheless, she persisted. Her inner Sisu kept her going. The judge only relented after she persevered in making requests. Verse 7 says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" I think Jesus is referring to tenacity of purpose. Have we stuck with it and not given up? Giving up isn't always a direct decision. It can be a slow drifting away. Busyness, bitterness, unforgiveness, the neglecting of getting together with other believers, letting Bible reading slip, and a myriad of other reasons can move us away from God. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." This is an encouragement that if we find ourselves in a place of discouragement, that God hasn't given up on us, even if we've given up on ourselves. Will Jesus find faith in me? Waiting is hard, especially when we see others to whom things have come so easily. There is a promise in Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Persistent prayer keeps us focused on the Lord, not our situation. That focus gives us hope, and hope renews the spirit. Persistent prayer takes intentionality. Now for this message is brought to you by, my favorite thing, YourVersion Bible app. So if you have a smartphone or a computer, you can download this app. It has plans to take you through the Bible in the year, and the beauty of this app is that you can listen to the word, so you don't need to get bogged down in, let's say, 1 Chronicles, where you have all the begats. I find I actually enjoy listening to them, and the other cute is you can speed it up so it talks really fast. Another aspect of this parable is the outcome. In the parable, the judge grants the widow's petition because he is tired of her constant bothering him. She drives him crazy. But what happens when we pray, when what we pray for goes unanswered or is a definite no? My husband died suddenly 14 years ago. I had 3 days with him when my constant prayer was for his recovery. He didn't make it. The person you are praying for dies, or the cancer doesn't go into remission. Then what? In this instance, my gut response is, why me? When really it should be, why not me? What makes me so special that trials and tribulations should not come to me? Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. He was willing to take a no answer if that was what the God, what the will of God the Father was. A former pastor of mine once said, when life hits, you can either get bitter or better. That's our choice. Our God is not immune to our sufferings. He is not ambivalent to our hopes, wishes, and desires. He listens to our prayers. He is not like the unjust judge. We are told in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God is reasonable. He can be reasoned with. Our prayers are listened to. Our prayers can and do impact God. This gives us the boldness we need to come before God. This is an act of grace. We do not have power or control over God. Our prayers are not incantations to get what we want. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the book of Jonah, God decided to destroy Nineveh because of their sins. It says in Jonah 3:10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented the disaster that he had said he would do to them. Other versions say God changed his mind. Abraham, when praying to God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, bargained with God about the number of righteous men it would take for God to relent his decision. Our lesson from these examples are be persistent, be bold. God cares and he is listening. So what is our response? Whether our prayers are answered in the way we hope or not, what is our response? When David sinned with Bathsheba, the child of that union became critically ill. For 7 days, David fasted and prayed. He laid his petition before God. When David heard his servants whispering, he knew the baby had died. In 2 Samuel 12:19-20, it says, when David saw his servants whispering, he knew the baby was dead. So he asked them, is the baby dead? They answered, yes, he's dead. Then David got up from the floor, washed himself, put lotions on, and changed his clothes. Then he went into the Lord's house to worship. It goes against our nature to offer praise to God when things don't go our way. It is hard. It is difficult to bring my heart in line with the heart of God. It requires spiritual discipline. For example, after my husband died, it was hard for me to sing praise songs. The last thing I felt like doing was singing. It took me almost a year to be able to sing hymns in church without crying. I think this is what Paul meant when he said in Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Many of us prayed for the young men who were trapped in the cave in Thailand. Their story riveted the people of the world. After their rescue, they shaved their heads and went into a monastery for a week to express their gratitude for being rescued. How much more should our response be for the gifts of God and the prayers that he has answered for us? He has promised that he will not withhold any good gift from us, and he is the good gift. So be persistent like the widow. Don't give up. Even when you don't feel like it, know that God is there. Pray through the brick walls. Respond with thankfulness, gratitude, and praise, even in the face of what you perceived as unanswered prayer. He is faithful. So we can go back to that question Jesus posed at the end of the parable. When he returns, will he find faith here at Calvin Presbyterian Church? I believe he will. So I ask you, have you got sisu? So let's pray. Dear Father, we trust you, we believe you hear our prayers even when we don't have the faith to believe. You are faithful, we are humbled by your grace to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.